It appears a regional transit authority for Southeast Michigan is one step closer to becoming reality. This week, the state Senate passed a bill to create the authority for Macomb, Oakland, Washtenaw, and Wayne counties. Possible routes could include Detroit to Birmingham, Detroit to Ann Arbor, and Troy to Mount Clemens. An authority like this could also accept federal funding for transportation projects, projects like the proposed M1 high-speed passenger rail system along Woodward Avenue. Republican State Senator Tom Casperson sponsored this legislation.
There's a lot of history behind this thing, and I think it's monumental if we get this done.
And when Casperson talks about a lot of history, he is indeed correct. It has been decades in the making, trying to hammer out a workable, viable, efficient system of public transportation in Southeast Michigan, something proponents say can only help the economy of our whole state. Joining us now, Jack Lessenberry, Michigan Radio's senior political analyst, and Daniel Howes, business columnist at the Detroit News. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having me.
Good to be here.
Jack, I'd like to start with you. Let's talk some about this history, so much of it political. Why has this issue been kicking around for some 40 years and there is still no regional transit authority?
Well, it's nothing to do with the technology, of course, Cindy. It has to do with politics and racial politics, Detroit versus the suburbs. Detroit has its bus system. The suburbs have theirs. They're not coordinated. They're not merged. And from time to time, efforts were made. People would go to the Mackinac Island Conference and talk about this, and then they'd come back, and the good feeling would dissipate. They did actually pass a law 10 years ago, which Governor Engler vetoed as almost his last act before leaving office. And there was a lot of lack of trust on both sides, worry that one side is going to get the better of the other. But now I think that there's maybe more of a climate of realism. But this is not through the legislature yet.
And Daniel, I'm sure the bottom line is the impact on citizens, especially in Detroit, standing on street corners for buses that never come.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think the other thing, I agree with everything Jack said earlier, but I think the real questions are also ones of control and money. And both from taxpayer money and also from the federal government. What's been happening in Detroit for so long is really deplorable, I think, in all of Southeast Michigan. We're the largest metro area in the country that doesn't have a regional transit system, and we should. And we continue to fight about the same things over and over and over again. And there are some examples of where regionalism has started to work. And we're going to see it at the upcoming auto show where they're going to unveil the redone Hobo Center under a regional authority. It's been something that they've been fighting about between the city and the suburbs for generations. It got to be such a joke that I would write a column and say, it's December and it's time for another Cobo Hall plan. And and now we've finally gotten our arms around that. So I think to Jack's point, there is some change in the politics between Republican and Democrat, and a lot of people recognize that something needs to be done, but whether they're actually going to do it, I think, still remains to be seen.
Well, Jack, can you tell us, please, how is it a conservative Republican lawmaker from the Upper Peninsula came to sponsor this bill for a transit authority in Southeast Michigan?
Well, it's kind of heartening, I think, that Tom Casperson, who's certainly been one of the more conservative members of the legislature, both in the House and the Senate, went to Detroit and tried to get around taking a bus in the wintertime last winter and stood on a street corner at one point for 45 minutes, and he finally got on a bus, and nobody was talking about politics or talking about freezing, and he realized this didn't make any economic sense. So I think that's sort of heartening. You would have thought this might have come more from Republicans in the suburbs. There are people, my dry cleaner, for example, in Detroit suburbs has been looking for someone to work there. There's a lot of people in Detroit who might like that job, but they have no transportation to get there, and that is a pattern all over the metro area.
Which really leads us into discussing, if this comes together, the difference it would mean for the lives of people, especially Detroit and people in Southeast Michigan. I don't think you can even describe the difference it could make to have a reliable transportation system.
Well, I think that's the case. But again, we don't know how all the bugs would be worked out. As I understand it, and Dan can correct me if I'm wrong, this would be an overlay. This would not abolish either SEMCOG or the Detroit transportation system. There would be a new system of rapid buses. It would go throughout the metro area. And maybe it's times, maybe eventually they'd phase out some of the other lines. But right now, this would be an overlay on top of the existing system. It would be paid for by millages that would have to be approved by the voters of all these counties. So it's a multi-stage process, even once it gets through the House.
That's exactly right. And I think there's no guarantee that the millages will pass. I mean, I think increasingly people, a lot of voters are very skeptical of additional expenditures of money. And when you look at the kind of system that's being proposed, one that overlays another one, there's a lot of duplicative costs there. And I think a lot of taxpayers would look at that and be very skeptical of something like that. And, you know, Washtenaw County has basically reversed itself for the time being because they're trying to preserve what they've developed as a very good transit system that is able to avail itself of federal money because it is so well managed. These problems are not only political, but they're also ones of management. And as long as you're going to have competing managements, you're going to continue to have a lot of these problems.
I think the more immediate threat probably is Macomb County in the Detroit area. Washtenaw would be nice, but it's a bit off the beaten track of the commuter patterns of most Detroiters. But Macomb County might be most resistant to this. Wayne probably would be the easiest sell. Mm-hmm. But they managed to sell Macomb on voting for an art authority to fund the DIA, which at one point I thought was not very likely. So, again, it's going to take some selling. It's going to take... First of all, this has to get through the House, and it's not just suburban and outstate Republicans who will vote against this, some of them. There are some Detroiters who, Dan very sagely said it was an issue of control. There are some people from Detroit who don't want anything, even if it benefits them, if they don't control it.
Which we have seen plenty of, Belle Isle and on and on and on. So do you both think the bill could pass the State House? What do you think the likelihood is, Dan?
Well, I think clearly you've had some wrangling and some resistance from the Detroit delegation if they don't get proper representation. And you, on the other side, you see people like from suburban Wayne County that are saying they want to make sure that the Wayne County representation doesn't all go to Detroit. And I think that's going to be an issue that's going to have to be defined and laid out. I think there's a decent chance, and I think it will help, that Governor Snyder is probably going to be whipping this a little bit. And he tends to be a little less archly political than on these kinds of issues because he's just trying to fix what he calls the problems, what he identifies as the problems. And I think he's come to the conclusion that regional transit for Southeast Michigan is very important from an economic development standpoint and for people to get to work, as we've been talking about. And I think he's right.
If I could add something,
sure.
I don't know if you want, but I could add something to what Dan said. I agree, I think the chances now are probably better than 50%, and not just because of Governor Snyder, but even more importantly in the legislative context, Paul Opsahmer, who is the chair of the House Transportation Committee, a Republican, is for this. And he hasn't always marched in lockstep up with Snyder, but it's important to remember if they don't get this done in the lame duck session, they have to start all over at the beginning next January.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Finally, while I have you both here, could I get your thoughts on the news that Detroit's bond ratings have been cut even more by Moody's? Jack, more of the same bad news?
I mentioned this to someone this morning who said they weren't aware Detroit still had a bond rating. So, I mean, I think this is just a blow falling on a bruise.
And it's more of the same. I mean, Detroit's bond rating is about as far down as it can go, and they are creeping ever steadily closer to a Chapter 9 bankruptcy filing. I've been spending a lot of time studying that and writing about it, and I think a lot of people may say bankruptcy is not an option, but it may become ultimately the only option left for the state. The other thing that we're going to see is what happens in lame duck in their efforts to revise the emergency manager law, because that's going to be about the only thing that is going to be able to keep them out of bankruptcy, I think.
And I think it's been clear from both of you and other people we've spoken to on stateside that it is not just a Detroit problem, that tidal effect is going to spread throughout the entire state if Detroit goes under, correct?
Yep.
Well, a lot to keep an eye on. Both of you, thank you so much. Daniel Howes, business columnist at the Detroit News, and Jack Lessenberry, Michigan Radio's senior political analyst.